Going down, guys. It's the Altered State Podcast. It's John and Brandon. It's episode 78.
And I've got nothing for you. 78. I feel like I should. Like, for what I can't.
You want to. I'm not even going to go there. We're supposed to be a pop culture-y podcast. I don't want to put out that I was born in 1978. Mm. So.
It's the Brandon.
That's right.
It's the Brandon episode.
Yeah, I guess I can't. That's not news. Everybody knows I'm an Xer, so I had to assume I was somewhere in there, right?
Right. So. You know, and that means we're coming up on mine.
That's right. That's right.
You know, another...
10 years.
10 episodes. nine episodes. I'm 87.
What a dick.
I'm 87 just by the hair of my chin. December of 87.
I was thinking of a nice segue. Like, you're the young Luke to my old Luke Skywalker. Oh. I got nothing there, but I was trying to find a nice way to throw...
Just...
How... That's just the most insane thing.
Again, obviously, anybody listening to this, you know it's a spoilers coming.
So
you're this you should.
Absolutely.
But, again, just this finale of Mandalorian, the rescue,
Solid.
I was not ready. Like, the fucking balls, dude.
Even
the balls.
Even when the X-Wing flies by, I still wasn't 100%. I'm like, no, they're not. They can't. It's not going to happen.
Friday morning, it was so funny. You know, I had, that was my first day of winter break.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And Libby had PTO days that she has to use before the end of the year. So she had planned to take off Friday. And it was the girls' last day of preschool. So the girls were gone, and me and Libby were at home, but neither of us had anything to do. So, of course, I'm watching Mando. You know, I'm in. About halfway through the episode, Libby walks downstairs, you know, because I'm in the basement, fucking lights off, coffee going. Like, I want the full experience. And she comes downstairs, and she's like, can I just hang out with you? Because we don't, you know, we live together, and we work in the same place, but we just don't fucking hang out because, you know, life is what it is.
Right.
So I paused it. I was like, of course, I would love to hang out with you. But I'm halfway through the season finale. Right. You can't talk to me or ask questions until this is over.
That's right.
Let's just get that out of the way.
We're hanging out.
Yeah.
We're not talking.
Sitting in silence until this is over. And, you know, and at that point, it's the halfway point. They just reached the light cruiser, but there's no thought of Luke at this point.
Right.
So I turn it back on. And when that X-Wing entered the scene, because Libby's watching me. And like a kid on Christmas morning, my eyes got wider, my grin got deeper. Like I can't put into words the joy that I felt, but it was also like it was tempered. It was like, oh, this is a trap. Like cool. But again, I'm like, there's no fucking
way. It's gonna
be a
villain. It's gonna be the villain.
It's gonna be something. Right. Like there's no fucking way.
It's because you want it so bad.
And then
right.
And then, you know, when he comes out, and even like when he first hops off, you see the gloved left hand. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, now they're really fucking with me. And it wasn't until they switched from like the closed circuit to the actual view and you could see the green lightsaber.
Yeah.
It was in that moment
that
I saw the green lightsaber. I was like, oh my God, they fucking did it. They fucking did this. I'm saying this out loud as Libby's looking at me with a... what can only be explained as a combination of love and derision.
Yeah.
Just like, who the fuck did I make? And I'm sitting there like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Like I'm touching my face. I have tears
where she's
in
like,
my eyes.
I fucked that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I honestly, tears in my eyes.
Yeah.
Like I'm not bawling like a baby, but I am welling up. I'm, you know, I'm dropping like, this is everything. It is at that moment is everything I wanted the sequel trilogies to be.
Sure.
And it like it was just.
Yeah. Have you seen
it was so fucking good. Oh.
The side by side with Darth Vader from Rogue One and Luke. It's
fucking
badass.
Cool was
the
that?
Whole like father like son thing. It's pretty
cool.
Well,
that was it. Like I feel like that was the first time we really got to see Luke Skywalker.
Right.
Like even like the original trilogy. You know, not only do you have the era that it was made in, but he was also still just so like such a burgeoning Jedi, you know, he was so wet behind the ears. For the first time ever, we really experienced Luke Skywalker.
Sure.
And what was even cooler was like, again, it continues to enrich the sequel trilogy because just like there was the immediate comparison to the Vader hallway scene. You could see that darkness, that raw power, and you could see why that would be the type of thing that would scare the shit out of a guy to make him exile himself because he can't trust himself.
Right.
Like it even in its subtle notes enriched the sequels.
Right.
And just like making it make sense.
I didn't think about it until, of course, I'm surfing on the internet and everybody's like, well, does this mean Kylo Ren kills Baby Yoda when he burns the temple down? Because we never hear of him again. Who knows? They had to explain where Baby or
sure, Grogu has where been. Grogu was during the sequels.
They have to explain it. There's that scene in the flashback where Luke's watching his Jedi temple burn and all that kind of stuff, and supposedly there were people in there and all that kind of thing. So, that'd be a harsh ending after all this to go to that.
Yeah, well, you have to wonder,
and that's years now.
Mandalorian's going to continue as a show, and it's going to continue around Din. Mm-hmm. You have to think,
because now he's the leader of the Mandalorians.
To some point, it's going to at least touch on Grogu's life a little bit.
Sure, yeah.
Like we're not going to get a lot of Grogu because there's no way they have the money to do that much Luke Skywalker that they would have to.
You're right. Do you know how but they want young Luke back in this show.
They have to recast at this point.
If you heard who they want?
No.
They want the Winter Soldier.
Sebastian Stan?
Yeah. He's the exact...
I buy that.
He's 38 years old, which is exactly how old Luke should be after Jedi to this point.
I totally buy that.
I like it too. At first I'm like, ooh, I don't know, but then I like it. He has the same physical features.
Yep. He has... And in doing all the Winter Soldier stuff, he's shown he can handle the conflict and the pathos and the action.
Yep.
And I think it's the... There's no way you can recast Luke Skywalker for the reveal.
Agreed.
Because you needed to... Like, I needed to feel that moment the way... If it was Sebastian Stan, I would have appreciated it, but it wouldn't have hit me... It wouldn't have been the gut punch that it was. Like, when he pulled down his hood and it was young Mark Hamill... I'm crying. Honestly, like everything about it is.
As soon as you said that, I went right to the Kevin Smith movie with Cockknocker. Look, kids, it's Mark Hamill. It's young Mark Hamill.
But it was necessary. But I do think moving forward, I would be super cool with that. I'd have no qualms.
That was like the first time I'd heard anybody talk about, the internet.
Yeah.
Recasting someone from the original cast, because they.
Well, they did it with Han Solo.
Well, it was for a new movie.
Right.
But people were like, ooh, I like that idea. This is the first time I was like, ooh, that could work.
Yeah.
When they did the Solo thing, I enjoyed Solo. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed that movie.
Uh-huh.
I don't necessarily think I would have picked that actor for the role.
See,
but that's all hindsight.
I've gone back and forth on that in my head. I personally loved Solo. Mm-hmm. And I think... I really like that actor, and I don't dislike the casting choice. I think I dislike some of the baggage that I brought in as a viewer, and some of the choices he made as an actor. Because I feel like it was Alden Ehrenreich or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a combination. I think Harrison Ford is so distinct that even when I see Han Solo, I don't see Han Solo. I see Harrison Ford.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Get off my plane.
Right. And I think it's the same thing with Indy. Like, I don't see Indiana Jones. I see Harrison Ford.
Right.
I
feel like when you hire Harrison Ford to act, you're asking for a certain...
You're asking for Harrison Ford.
Right.
It just so happens that was the role before he was Harrison Ford. Right. But, like, so I think as a viewer, I was expecting young Harrison Ford, even though I knew it's not what I was getting.
You can't get that, sure.
But I also think, as an actor, I think Alden Ehrenreich made some choices that was him trying to impersonate Harrison Ford, opposed to him being Han Solo.
Right.
I think... For example, they also recast Donald Glover.
Right.
And that didn't skip a beat for me at all.
That's true.
Because, Billy Dee is not as Harrison Fordy as Harrison Ford. Mm-hmm. Like, Billy Dee to me is Lando, not right. vice versa.
Right.
But I also think Donald Glover wasn't trying to be Billy Dee. Donald Glover was just being right. Lando Calrissian.
Right. So I equate. Thank you. So, like, what's the actor Billy Butcher, who plays Billy Butcher? Carl Urban, right?
From The Boys.
And he's been in everything, right? Uh-huh. But he played in Star Trek, Dr. McCoy.
Yeah.
And he was asked recently, you know, because you're playing a character, but there's a lot of baggage there. But that guy was kind of the guy, too. Yeah. You know what I mean? So you're kind of doing an impersonation of that person doing a character.
Uh-huh.
And it's just kind of like that with the Harrison Ford thing. Han Solo is Harrison Ford. So when you're doing Han Solo, you're kind of doing an impersonation of Harrison Ford anyway.
Yeah.
And you kind of get into mm-hmm. Harrison Ford-isms.
Sure.
And you just, if you're not Harrison Ford, it doesn't come off right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially when you're a younger version of the Harrison Ford. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, it's kind of like with what Not Joaquin Phoenix. River Phoenix, thank you.
Doing Being young
little indie. Young indie, he had indie-isms,
yeah.
Harrison Ford-isms, but it was funny because he was
right.
a young version of it.
Sure.
And in Solo, it wasn't necessarily supposed to be funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I would also, and I also think there probably is part of it that, you know, it comes when you have to, you replace a director in the middle of it. You know, sure. you have two different directors asking for two different performances, I would assume.
And then they're cut together.
And that's probably sure. creates some sure. incongruency.
Sure.
Personally, I would like to see him get another crack at it. I would be interested to see him, Alden Ehrenreich, show yeah. up in the Lando series.
Yeah. I had no problem. Yeah, going forward, I wouldn't have a problem with him doing it. I just, you know, I don't know.
I think that movie just had some misses. But again, I think it's a really good movie.
I think
that movie got a bad rap.
Yeah, I agree.
For a variety of reasons that were outside of its control.
I think it still suffered from the shock value of Harrison Ford dying. Like, people weren't
right. It's immediately
over that. Yeah. And it's also, we're reliving when he was a new guy. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, you just saw the death yeah. of Han Solo.
It didn't sit right.
And it was, you went from having no Star Wars to like four Star Wars movies in two and a half years.
Rogue One was right before this, right? Was it right after?
Well, it was like,
can't remember exactly.
It was, if I'm remembering correctly, it was Force Awakens opened in a December.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next,
like March,
the
right?
it was like the next November.
Okay.
That Rogue One came out. Then the next December
was
The Last Jedi. So they were like one per year, and they were all like winter, but then Last Jedi was December, and then Solo was like 3 months Pretty later. Cool. It was like April of that year, I want to say. So it was just, it was so much the so end of a close. Long run.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it suffered from the multi-director issue, and it was also, it came out like at the same fucking time as Infinity War.
True. Yeah.
Like there was just so much there that hurt it. But every time I go back and watch it, like I've watched it probably twice in the last 6 months, and it's a fun fucking movie.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. And it's everything I want it to be. Like for a Han Solo movie, I want it to be kind of a fun, scummy adventure.
Yeah.
I think Woody Harrelson was fucking dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
I think Donald Glover was fucking dynamite. Mm-hmm. Like, that whole Paul Bettany was a great villain. Like, that was a good movie.
Yeah, I would agree.
But, yeah. Back to recasting Mark Hamill. I'm fucking...
down with that. Yeah, I'd be down with that guy. Absolutely.
See, but like, not to be outdone... You watch all that, and you are so emotional, and not even looking for a post-credit scene.
Right. I was. Like, I was looking for it.
I was still talking to Libby, and all of a sudden, like, out of my periphery, I see the twin sons. I was like, shut up.
Yeah.
And I looked up, and, like, Jabba's Palace.
Right.
And then fucking Fat Bib Fortuna. How much fun was that?
That was great. That was a great callback.
Like, the fact that Bib Fortuna took over the underworld was so delightful.
It's a hilarious move.
But like,
and then just get smoked right away.
Right. Well, the big thing that is like, not only was that just wonderful, but the final shot when like that wide shot when the camera pulls back and it's fucking Fennec just leaned up against the chair, against the arm, yep, with her rifle in one hand and her space booze in the other. Yep. And then he's just like posted up center throne. Like, I want that image for as a poster in my bedroom.
Well, that like, tells me
that's such a fucking cool, right, iconic shot.
Right. Yeah, that's like the Scarface picture. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And it was like, and it was everything I wanted.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh yeah, that's coming in December.
Right.
And we're going to get Boba Fett running the fucking Hutt clan.
Well, doesn't that tell...
Like, fuck yes, doesn't dude. That tell I am so you fucking here for that.
The Book of Boba, which is four episodes. We're going to do a miniseries. Mm-hmm. Four episodes. Come, yeah, like you said, January or December next year. Got to be Boba versus Timothy Olyphant, right?
I mean, he's got to be.
That's who's there.
Yeah.
So
Cobb Vanth is going to be in that show, right, for sure.
I mean, because he was also the one who had his armor for the whole time, and he's got to have a little vendetta against him.
Yeah.
He was probably hunting him down originally, then found the Mandalorian. So
right, and I have to think it's going to tie into like Crimson Dawn and Maul's old gang. I mean, that's after Maul's death, right, but like there's going to be references to Maul. There's sure. going to be references to Jabba.
Right. I love it.
I mean, get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of here.
I can't. I fucking can't, yeah, Brandon.
It's good shit,
like,
man.
But I need a print of that final shot.
Shouldn't be hard to find.
Yeah, just like Bib Fortuna. Just
Well, you know, here at Altered State, we do make t-shirts now and then. Maybe we create our own.
Oof. You know, so there were two things. Because I got to be nitpicky. Because this season brought me so much joy.
You host a podcast about pop culture, Star Wars. Right. Your job is to be nitpicky.
Right. And again, I look at season two of The Mandalorian as an absolute fucking triumph, and I would do nothing better. So I don't, because this is going to come off like I'm choosing to be very picky. Neither of these things are like terrible things by any means. They're just things that stood out to me and took me out of it just a hair.
For the season or this episode?
This episode, okay, specifically.
Okay.
First, the opening scene when they like take the shuttle,
mm-hmm,
and which was an incredible scene, like, and seeing the one Imperial like talk about terrorism and like,
okay, yeah,
see,
yeah.
I love that we are seeing
that's their side of it, kind of thing,
right? Yeah. And I think that's important,
yeah, kind
especially in the world that we live in now, yeah, like I think more so than ever, like as a society we're super divided, and more so than ever everybody thinks they are righteous. Everybody thinks they are the good guy and the other team is the bad guy. Opposed to the reality of like, no, there's so much individual perception,
right,
that creates who the good guy and bad guy is.
Obi-Wan said it best, something, 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 certain point of view.
The things you hold to believe as truths depend heavily on a certain point of view.
A certain point of view? Well, Luke, you'll find out. Right.
But like as humans, I think we are living very much out this place where like everybody thinks they are the good guy and the other person is the bad guy.
Right.
And it's because we've watched all these movies where it's like it is black and white. Like it's universal.
Right.
But like, I mean, equate it to our current political landscape, right, where all the Democrats think the Republicans are the empire and,
right,
and all the Republicans think Democrats are the empire.
Right.
When it's really like, all right, there's a lot. It's far more fucking nuanced than that.
Well,
but seeing it,
who's gonna give me a job?
Right. But seeing it be nuanced in that state, when it's like it is black and white, who's the right fucking bad guy here?
Right.
As an objective viewer,
totally,
from the outside.
Well, it's like that Bill Burr speech from the episode before. I mean,
right.
When they're driving that tank through the, you know. It,
and I love that they're doing that. Fantastic. I love that they're giving some context.
Yes.
So in that scene, when the first shuttle trooper stands up and he's like, all right, I'm not with him, I can work something out. And the one guy shoots him. The way that guy dies. So we've been watching Star Wars for 40 years.
That's right.
You've seen a lot of people die by blaster fire,
right?
Right?
Yeah.
When a person gets shot with a blaster, they crumble and die.
Yeah.
When he gets shot, he goes, ah, ah, like does the super weird whimper before, yeah, he falls. And that that totally took me out of it for that minute. I was like, wait, huh? What? Wait, what? What did I fucking see? Like, he just got shot point blank by a blaster, which I've seen a million people do. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure in my Star Wars encyclopedia it says somewhere blaster fire affects one out of a million people with involuntary
throat spasms.
Involuntary gut trauma. Yeah, no.
Like, it was so, just like,
you know how they say the last thing you do is shit your pants before you die? Right. Blaster fire makes you scream. Yeah. You wail.
And it just like that one bit of performance was like, you could have just died, bro.
Yeah.
Like that was weird for me.
That's one of those things you'll find out like 10 years later was like, you know, Daniel Craig. It's like some huge actor just wanted to like be in the movie for a moment. Like, oh, I was on the set and they made me do this.
It just felt weird. Yeah. And then the other thing that, like, which is something that I think has been the best thing about The Mandalorian from the beginning, like from season one and season two, Ludwig Göransson has done masterwork with the score.
Great.
I believe that. Like, great. He has been, it's hard for me to imagine someone that's not John Williams doing that job.
Yes.
And he has done it. And yep. He's done it masterfully. Except that Dark Trooper theme. Like it's very like
it offhand, yeah.
So it's like real EDM influenced and like real kind of techno sounding.
I understand now, yeah.
Which again, I get when you have like these super imposing droids. Like I fully understand the logic there.
Yeah.
But it's just so vastly different from everything else in the score.
Yeah.
That it feels weird.
Yeah.
Like I feel like I wish it would have been just toned down a touch.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
On the synth. Because, like, again, I think having the synthy sound totally makes sense. Because you're talking about these big imposing droids that are technological feats. Like, I get it. But it just felt a little, like, it just kind of took me out of it. I was like, oh, wait, am I watching Michael Bay movie?
Right.
For just a second.
Right.
And then I was back in.
Right.
But it's just those two.
I know what you mean.
Those two choices just felt a little. And then there's also, like, so it's funny that they're, like, bring up Dark Troopers is like the biggest badass, and it's like, well, wait a minute, weren't you using droids in the prequels, and you deemed stormtroopers to be better? Like these are just the blaster. Like there's something about that that felt like, oh, your big bads are fucking droids.
Well, these were created by the Kamino scientists, so it's a little different.
They're not Geonosian.
Totally.
Handiwork.
That's right.
Those Geonosians are known for cutting corners.
They don't know what
they're doing. Yeah. They're known for cutting corners.
You need to fight some Gungans, you send those battle droids. You need to fight real people.
You need to fight some fucking Jedi.
Right. You need to kidnap a little baby Yoda, you send 12 of those things.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's like... Oh, the Jedi are gone? Cool, we can use droids again. The Jedi can kill the shit out of the droids, but everything else can't handle it.
That's true.
Which there's also the part of me that was like, when you see how easily the lightsaber dispatches them, I wanted Bo-Katan to be like, hey, use the darksaber,
no
dude.
Shit. No shit.
Like, you've got a weapon that can beat them. It's in your hand.
That was just one question I had. So, in that scene, as Luke's docking and all that stuff, you know, Moff Gideon's been captured. He's on the table or on the floor. Why is Moff Gideon so scared? Does he know Luke Skywalker? Like, he seems to know.
I think he knows. He's a Jedi. He knows of Jedi. Okay. That's what I have to imagine.
Okay. Because he's like freaking out. He's like, well, I'm done.
Yeah. There's no. Like that's a game changer for him.
Right.
I mean,
obviously, he knows of Midichlorians and things of those. So he knows of the Force.
He knows of the Force. Yeah. But also, I think he, you know, as a ranking official in the Empire, when the Empire fell, like, he knew that the Emperor and Darth Vader were Sith.
Right.
He knew that a Jedi killed them.
Okay.
And those are like, you know, Vader and the Emperor are like gods to him.
Because Moff Gideon is basically like, you know, the CIA guy of the Empire. So he should have tabs on whoever survived Order 66. To me, he would, you know what I mean? He'd be like the J. Edgar Hoover.
He would have whatever evidence existed. But we know, like, during that time, Vader had the Inquisitors and he was trying to hunt down Jedi, but, like, they didn't know everyone. You know, like, they were trying to find.
Yeah.
But, like, certainly it has to be known throughout what's left of the Empire that Luke Skywalker dispatched him. Like, that's got to be known.
Right. Right.
Especially if you're a high-ranking guy.
That was celebrated, right? Wasn't that, like, part of the early, was that there was this season when they talked about the Death Star blowing up and everybody's watching.
Yeah, the galaxy cheer.
But didn't they talk about Luke Skywalker? I thought they mentioned a name or something.
I don't think they did. Because they didn't want to get that. They didn't want to get your hopes up.
That's true.
But like, I think go ahead. They, Moff Gideon would know for sure.
Okay.
And him seeing that, like, and also like he felt like he had won. He felt like he had him between a rock and a hard place. When you're a guy like Moff Gideon. Really, if you're any character that's portrayed by Giancarlo Esposito, you are the smartest man in the room, right. And you're a fucking weaselly survivor.
Right.
So you feel like you've got it there.
Right.
And then the one thing happens that you know can't happen. Like you orchestrate this whole plan, knowing that it only has one flaw, and you just hope that one in a million thing doesn't happen. And when it does, there's that pit in your stomach of knowing like you did everything right, but there's only one thing you can't account for, and that one thing fucking happened.
You brought up the Mandalorian score. Have you seen the Christmas lights? There's a house, it's not in town. I've seen it on YouTube or somewhere. You know how you can set up the music and it's a Christmas light display to the theme of the Mandalorian, and it's pretty goddamn fantastic. Yes, at break we need to look it up because it's a couple minutes long. It's awesome.
I love Ludwig's score.
It's a good score. Yeah.
Like watching the Disney Gallery from last season, I was so geeked on the episode with him. Like I love that dude, and I love the work that he's done, which has me super excited. On Christmas Day, we get the second installment of Disney Gallery, The Mandalorian. They're not doing it as a series this time. They're just doing like
a one-off
to like, because a bunch of stuff is the same from season one. Right. So they're just doing like a re-up to get through
what's
like,
happened this season.
Yeah. So I'm sure they'll be I'm sure it'll be just a big round table with Filoni and Favreau playing with fucking Star Wars toys. Man. Because that's all they've done.
Everybody else,
and they've done it better than me.
Yeah. For the most part, people's 2020s it sucks shit. Filoni's made a fucking name for himself like no one else.
He is.
I mean, he may be the. On him the and up Favreau and up. Might be the biggest. Favreau's been a winner for many years, obviously. This is Filoni's biggest year ever, right? I mean, hands down.
For sure.
Hands down.
Yeah, I was like.
And it's just getting bigger because he's got a piece of, Book of Boba and things like that. Rodriguez is, it's fantastic, dude.
Right.
Oh.
Well, I mean, and you have to think, and they haven't announced it, but I can't imagine that Filoni is not the showrunner for Ahsoka.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like if he's not, fuck Kathleen Kennedy.
I feel like he wouldn't have signed on.
Because he has to be.
There's no reason he would not be. He has to be, yes.
Like there's zero logic behind him not being.
Right.
So I'm just going to assume he is.
Right.
Like The Mandalorian was like, that was Dave Filoni's Elf.
Sure.
Favreau was nothing.
Right.
He was an actor.
The Swingers.
Right. He was an actor. He was whatever. Right. He was a bit part.
Right.
They got him to do Elf and they realized, oh, wait.
Right.
This motherfucker knows exactly what he's doing.
Right.
And then, he's been king of the world pretty much since.
Right. Yeah. Well, I still don't understand how he got the Marvel gig. I would love to know that. Like, how he originally got Iron Man. You know what I mean? Like, who gave him... I mean, obviously it was...
Feige.
Right. But... Who was up for that?
My guess is, and I'm certain there's got to, this information has to be out there with all the fucking docs they've done about the MCU. I'm sure this is out there, but I don't know this, so this is just me posturing. I have to assume that when the MCU was starting, they knew they couldn't start with their big names. They couldn't start with X-Men. They couldn't start with Spider-Man because of rights.
Sure.
So they were probably like looking at different writers and directors and be like, all right, who has the best idea of how to make Iron Man work?
Because at that point,
or Captain America
work. Did he ever do an action movie at that point? I can't think of an action movie.
He did Zathura, which was the kids movie.
That. Yeah, yeah.
And it was a kids
space movie. More CGI, wasn't it, than an action?
Well, it was a kids fantasy.
Like a Spy Kids kind of thing, right?
No, it was like Jumanji.
Oh, okay.
But with space instead of a jungle. It had Dax Shepard in it.
Nothing you've ever said on this podcast probably turned me off more than Jumanji in space just does nothing for me. It does nothing for me.
I never saw Zathura.
Now, having said that, if you said, hey, The Rock signed on, I'd probably go watch it.
Of course you would.
Probably go watch it.
I was thinking about you this weekend. I saw some wrestling related shit.
Ooh, really? Because I have it written down here. I'm going to talk a little Inferno match. Did you see that about
that?
Oh,
I didn't. Oh, but I have some other things.
Please come.
So, well, do we have anything else Star Wars to do before we hop into the
kind of questions that? I mean, we could
always.
What shoe size do you think Vader was? We could go from there, and then 2 hours later, we're talking about. Yeah, anyways, I have nothing else.
Well, I know Mando related. We blew our Star Wars related. Load.
Yeah, I think I'm good there.
Let's take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about these other things.
All right, we'll do.
Hey, man, it's me, Kevin Smith. Check out alteredstatecomics.com right now. I will wait. But while I'm waiting, I'm going to also tell you, go check out the Altered State podcast, man. They come straight out of St. Louis, Brandon and John, and they are there for all your pop culture needs. They're very orally accented, is what I'm saying, ladies and dudes. So there you go, man. alteredstatecomics.com. It's right there in the name.
And we're back.
We are back.
Just like that.
You brought up wrestling.
I know.
So I'm going right. What do you got for me?
So this weekend, did a little double feature. Two bands that I love did live stream Christmas specials.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That was great. Justin and Kelly came over on Saturday. We did a little double feature. Mm-hmm. First, Newfound Glory did a really fun Christmas special doing all original new Christmas songs.
Oh, nice.
Which was pretty cool. That's cool. They're going to release that on vinyl for next year.
They do it
year.
From like their little studio where they recorded their YouTube stuff and everything. Nice.
Yeah, so it was a whole setup. It was really cool. But they had special guests call in.
Oh, yeah?
They had the Young Bucks.
Love it. Love it.
Do some... The Young Bucks...
Did anybody other than you in that room know who the Young Bucks were at first? Did you have to explain who the Young Bucks were?
Well, so they introduced themselves, and there was like, and there was a little title card that said like the Young Bucks, and then like AEW.
Okay, okay.
And Justin was like, "Who the fuck are those? They're fucking wrestling guys." Yeah, I don't know.
I got the pop sitting right up there on my desk. Right. Yeah.
So they did a bit, but then Every Time I Die did a live stream, awesome fucking event on Saturday, and they like. They framed it like a telethon, so they did all sorts of fucking great sketches in it that were really fucking funny.
Yeah,
the guitarist of Every Time I Die is the Butcher.
Butcher, yep.
So the Butcher, the Blade, and Bunny did like three sketches, being like funny and fucking crazy.
Right.
But then halfway through, some fella named MJF.
Oh sure. Oh yeah. He shit all over him. I saw that.
Yeah. Yeah. He called in. Just to fucking chirp them.
Yep.
And talk about how old and shitty they were. Yep. And
he's kind of like what Ric Flair was in the 70s. Like just
a heel.
The rich dick. Yeah. Know, just, I'm a dick. Everything I do is gold and everybody else is a cocksucker. He's like that. He's perfect at it, man.
Oh, yeah. It was great. That's watch it. Like,
it's funny.
Yeah, me and Gibson are watching it having no clue who this dude is, but like.
Makes you laugh.
Totally getting it.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I watched enough wrestling to know what this shtick is.
Yep.
And I am here for it.
I love that.
Yeah,
that's
we had fantastic. The Butcher, we had the Blade, we had the Bunny.
I'm telling you, you watch a little AEW.
And we had MJF.
They pimp out his band all the time. They talk about it all. When he's on TV, they're on TV, they're talking about him playing a guitar.
Because he fucking rips.
Absolutely. But that's what I love about AEW a little more right now than WWE. They don't shy away from the real life. You know, it's not all just a gimmick. You know, this guy's a wrestler and, well, with Twitter and the world... People know what people do outside of wrestling now, so you can't hide it.
Yeah.
So they use it, man. It's all part of the thing.
Well, it was cool. So Every Time I Die did their live stream on Saturday, in lieu of what they always do, every December, they do a show called TID the Season, because their abbreviation is ETID, and so it's TID the Season. They're all from Buffalo, New York, so they do it's a full weekend festival that they headline both nights at a fucking warehouse that holds probably 5,000 people. And they'll do, you know, they'll get like a bunch of bands. So they'll do it like a festival, but they'll also do like wrestling matches and shit during the day. That's where the Butcher and the Blade started, because the Blade's from Buffalo too.
Okay.
And that's where they started as a tag team. And it's like me and Justin and Danny Gibson this was the year we were actually going to go. We had money set aside and then everything happened.
Yep.
So we're hoping to go next year. But on Friday night, because it was like before, like Saturday night was the live stream. Friday night, they released a video just free on YouTube of their set from night two of Tid the Season last year. So naturally, I'm watching that, and they're fucking ripping it up. And like in between songs, you know, the fucking banter and shit, like mm-hmm. bands normally would. So Keith Buckley, the lead singer, was like talking about, like, just like, you know, showing appreciation for the fans and shit, and everyone for coming out and packing Buffalo, and then talking about, he was like, you know, we've been, they've been a band for more than 20 years, like for a long time. And he was like, how many fucking people do you know playing a rock and roll band for 20 fucking years, touring 200 nights a year, sleeping on vans, and then at 40 years old decide to become a professional fucking wrestler? This asshole over here, did you see him kick ass earlier tonight? And they're awesome. Like, people are going crazy.
That's awesome.
But yeah, that dude's like fucking 43 years old. Yep. And he just decided to be a pro wrestler.
Telling you then.
Like a year and a half ago.
Something to keep in your back pocket, which I think you might dig. Chris Jericho, of course, didn't do it this year. Every year does a big rock and wrestling rager cruise. All kinds of metal bands, and they play, and it's, they have a wrestling ring. They do some wrestling stuff, and then bands fucking play, and everybody just drinks and parties while cruising the seas.
Just give me Tid the Season. I can't wait.
It's fun stuff, man. I love that you brought up wrestling.
Yeah, I had to, as soon as I was watching those live streams, I was like, I got to write this down. Brandon will love this.
I thought it was going to be, last night was a little WWE TLC pay-per-view, little tables, ladders, and chairs.
Uh-huh.
The main event was little Randy Orton, St. Louis's own, against Bray Wyatt.
St. Louis guy?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Okay.
Lives out in these parts.
Oh, yeah. That's he's a West, right. County, that's West
right.
County boy.
That's right. That's right. Chesterfield area, I believe. Well, you used to, at least. I don't keep tabs constantly. Could have moved within the last 10
fucking
years.
Fucking Marquette product.
I ran into Randy Orton one time, and as soon as I say where, you're going to think terribly of me and Randy, Plaza Frontenac.
Good for you.
I was with my girlfriend, who's my fiance, and her daughter. They were shopping at Lululemon. I feel terrible even saying it. And so was Randy Orton. Because the men's That's section fun. Was like three things, like pants and a shirt. He bought 9 of them. So like 200, 300 bucks on just a couple shirts.
That's incredible. I've only been to Plaza Frontenac one time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it was probably like 2 years ago. There's this movie that came out called Hearts Beat Loud.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really fucking wonderful movie that I love. It stars Nick Offerman and fuck, why can't I think of her name all of a sudden? Girl that was in Dope.
I can picture her, but I can't think of her name.
She's going to be Iris West.
Yeah.
And fuck, why can't I think of her name all of a sudden? I love her work. She's been very good in everything she's been in. Oh, I feel like such a shit bum. And Ted Danson is in it. A cast that I love, and it's about a dude that, like, Nick Offerman owns a record store, and the girl's his daughter. It's a wonderful movie. I still love that movie, but it was like a small indie release,
mm-hmm.
and the only theater in St. Louis that was showing it was the theater at Plaza Frontenac.
Sure. Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I've never even fucking been there. Yeah. So me and Libby went out there for like a date day. It was like 2 years ago. And I remember just walking through it to get to the theater being like, I feel yucky. I don't fucking belong here. This is not right.
It's for those who don't know, it's malls are almost non-existent. We'll see what happens after this. But it was, you know, the yuppie, the expensive mall, the Nordstrom's.
Walking around.
What else was there? What was the big?
Walking around there is kind of like walking through the shopping centers at the Bellagio.
That's a good point. It works.
It's like that the works. Malls that you right. see at the high
very
end
quiet,
casinos.
But yeah, absolutely. Yep. Yeah, that's good. It's the Vegas malls. It's very controlled. Right. But anyway, wrestling, watching a little TLC, the Inferno match. I showed you the clip before we came back on from the break. Randy Orton lights the dude on fire twice, because once you did it to win, and then the fire went out. And the second time he comes over, I think I showed you. Douses him in gasoline, like, because, you know, you have gasoline hanging out on the side of a ring. Douses him in gasoline. I'll take one of those. Drops a match. Burns him alive. And it's pretty much one of the greatest things I've ever seen on TV.
It's 1997 again.
It's fantastic. It's fantastic. And like I was saying
to
you,
all he had to do was say, suck it.
Wouldn't surprise me if that's right down the road. They really wouldn't.
Bring back D-Generation?
They really wouldn't. Yep. I'm in. I'm in. You know what's cool?
I only want them to bring back D-Generation X if they agree to use the Lone Ranger's song as their walk-in. So that's that whole chorus. Degenerate, degenerate.
Yeah.
I want Brendan fucking Fraser to come out and sing it.
How do you pluralize Lone Ranger?
I fucking love that movie.
That's a great movie. Airheads does not get the respect it deserves. I mean,
it doesn't.
Look at that cast. Honestly, that is an amazing cast, top to bottom.
Well, I mean, so you have.
I mean, Joe Montana. Are you kidding me?
Well, but I mean, you have in supporting roles. You have Ernie Hudson. You have Chris fucking Farley.
Right.
Adam Sandler. Fucking Steve Buscemi.
Lenny from Laverne and Shirley. What the hell is that guy's name? I can't think of his name. I was blank on his name. He's been in everything. He's in tons of shit.
Take a step back, man. You're standing on my dick. That's a great fucking movie.
Shit, what's his name? The surfer dude.
Oh, David Arquette.
David Arquette. WCW champion.
Fucking Michael McKean.
That's Michael McKean. That's what I was trying to think of. I couldn't think of his name. That's Lenny from... Yeah, David Arquette was WCW champion, by the way. You know this, right?
Once upon a time.
To bring it all back together.
Yeah, God, I fucking love that movie.
It's a great movie. Great movie. Yeah. Was that Sandler's first movie?
It was after Going Overboard.
That's what it was. I knew there was something random he had like a couple lines in or something like that. Yeah. What else you want to get into, man? You want to go ahead and do it? Do it. Do what you got to do.
Oh.
Do it. Mm. Hang on. Hang on. All right, do it.
I just want to count my Moranis bucks. As of course I'm sitting down to watch SNL Saturday night.
Yeah.
With my betrothed.
What's SNL?
It's a program I believe it's called Saturday Night Live.
Oh, okay.
Been airing for some time.
Okay, okay.
Some young upstarts.
Let me write this down.
With their political cold open. At first, I was thinking, well, we're just not going to see Biden at all again. It wasn't necessary mm-hmm. in that sketch to mm-hmm. even bring out Biden, quite mm-hmm. honestly.
Right.
But they did.
And kinda.
As the curtains pull back, and lo and behold, who walks out as Joe Biden? None other than Alex fucking Moffat.
Yeah, not Jim Carrey.
Not only was it not Jim Carrey, but it was also the cast member that I said it would be.
Yeah.
Alex motherfucking Moffat.
Yeah.
Now, does that hold up?
I don't think it does.
He didn't impress me.
Not at all.
But, set the president that it ain't fucking Jim Carrey.
This is true. This is true.
You know, I think there are a couple of cast members that might get a shot at it. I still hold firm that I think there is room for Jason Sudeikis to step back in those shoes. But, boy, howdy, did it feel good to see not Jim Carrey walk out.
So I got two things. One, did you see his tweet about it? Jim Carrey's tweet?
No.
I'll read you the tweet. And two, I'm still chalking this up to kind of a Gendry, Ariana Stark.
A poor decision on your
part? It's still probably going to happen in the future. I'm still pretty sure it's coming down the road. We got at least 4 years, maybe eight. Well, not with Biden. We got three.
Best case scenario, we got 4 years with Biden. Best case scenario, he gets through this term.
So here's what Jim Carrey said. This is a direct tweet. Though my term was only meant to be 6 weeks, I was thrilled to be elected as your SNL president, comedy's highest call of duty. I would love to go forward knowing that Biden was the victor because I nailed that shit. But I am just one in a long line of proud fighting SNL Bidens. Classy.
Absolutely.
But he didn't say I'm never doing it again.
Oh, that the fact that he said anything says he's not doing
but
it
But it's
again.
Funny. I looked at that tweet and then I just kind of looked through the comments randomly. And most of them, you know, were, you know, obviously they enjoyed what he did. But the majority were like, Sudeikis.
Right.
They just want to
Sudeikis
see that.
Sudeikis was so good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was like, Sudeikis as Biden was better than anybody as Obama during the Obama years.
True.
You know, like that. Fred Armisen did a good job.
Yeah.
I felt. But overall, they never nailed Obama.
Right.
But because they nailed Biden so much, I feel like they used Biden in more bits than Obama because they had a great fucking Biden that was very funny. Right. and very good at like cutting to the things that are easy to make fun of about Joe Biden.
Very true. Very
like
true.
Joe Biden's a pretty easy target, and Jason Sudeikis nailed all of those things.
Having said that, I was kind of shocked, like not shocked, but maybe that's just the SNL audience, especially the live audience. Any just even silly Biden jokes on the news, the audience did not care for.
We're in a dangerous time right
now,
man.
It's like, well, you have to be able to joke about everything equally.
Oh, I certainly agree.
Right. I know you should do.
I am on that side. I am thinking.
But what worries me that they'll drive their jokes to fit the live audience as opposed to.
That certainly could
be true. The bigger picture.
See, but I don't think so just because I.
You know what?
Because I trust Lorne Michaels.
Yeah. After I say that.
And I also trust, like. Michael Shea would be the guy, like Weekend Updates, when they would be taking the jabs.
Right.
And Che would not be afraid to piss off the audience.
Right.
And neither is Lorne Michaels.
Well, I was going to say, I said
so
that,
I trust that.
And then I'm like, well, they're not afraid to piss the audience off just based on that last episode sketch where they're doing each other's jokes.
Yeah.
You know, and they're obviously very offensive jokes.
Right.
So they're not afraid to push that envelope by any means.
I think they were afraid to make fun of Biden during the campaign. One, because I think they know their audience and they know this election was different than any other election. Mm-hmm. And I think it carried some weight. I also think there was some, now whether this evidence is accurate or not, but there is some philosophy that is shared in the SNL community that their portrayal of both candidates in 2016 had something to do with the outcome of the election. And so I think there was a lot of...
But they've been saying that since Will Ferrell and Bush.
Sure, you know, and really it probably did.
Right.
But it's also never had... There's never been a president that has had a term like this one.
True.
Take that however you will, but... And so I think there was a certain anxiety on their part of having any contribution. But I also think now that we are in really, I think especially when they come back, when we're post inauguration, I don't think they will be afraid to take jabs.
Sure.
And I would be really disappointed if they were.
Well, and I think
because I think it's important. Like I am a firm believer.
That's what the show's built around, you know, what well, right?
I am a firm believer that political satire is
necessity.
Right. It is not just funny. It is important.
Right.
It is an important way to keep people accountable.
Right.
And to keep citizens engaged, because I think a lot of people don't want to engage with the news until maybe they'll hear a punchline and then do some research.
Right. It's
and I think it is an important tool for the American public for political satire to exist. And in order for it to exist, you can't have a hero, because there is no president in the history or in the future of presidents that is going to be a perfect president.
That's right.
You have to fucking rip on that shit. Right. You have to.
I always go, I mean, you said it great, but I always go to People versus Larry Flint. You see the movie?
Not in a long time, man. Woody Harrelson?
Yes. But what's his lawyer's name? Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. You know. Edward Norton. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Couldn't think of Edward Norton's name. But that speech he gives in front of Supreme Court, it's basically, you know, what you said, because they're saying, you know, you're saying that it's a necessity of popular opinion to show politicians, you know, in terrible position, or make fun of, basically.
Uh-huh.
It's like, yes, it's absolutely...
It's crucial. It's
crucial, yes. They have to be brought down to the same level as people. They can't be put up on here as this kind of person.
And it is as old as time. Right. I mean, look at fucking newspapers in the American Revolution.
Right.
Had fucking political cartoons.
Right.
Like, that shit is old as time, and it is important.
I think part of the problem right now, at least with the Biden thing, is, you know, he's elected, but he's not in office yet. So he hasn't done anything to make fun of. So right now, you're only making fun of physical features, him being old, and those are touchy when he's old. Because if you're like, you know, if something happens, you're fucked.
Right.
So
it's a bad look.
So I'm not making excuse. I don't want to say don't make fun of him, but there's not. Of course, he's been in politics for a long time, but
they also spent 8 years doing a great job making fun of him.
That's true.
They've got a long history of making fun of Joe Biden.
Right.
So like they know how to.
But then flash forward, 12 years later, and he's 80 something, and it's like, maybe we should.
Right. And I also think,
wait until he does something. That's why I was so shocked when they didn't do anything with the boot.
Right.
I'm like, well, that's just do
that's
it.
That's a gimme.
Right.
But I also think, oh, fuck. I had a thought in my head, and it's gone.
I don't know what it was.
You mean you can't read my... It's been almost 2 years,
I've been
Brandon.
Trying.
How have you not? I've been trying. How have you not picked up on...
I've been playing a lot of Cyberpunk, but I'm not... I can't, can't jack in.
I also think there is a big part of it that has to do with them not having a solid Biden performer yet.
Very true, right.
So I think what you're going to
build
see,
on that character.
Right. I think what you're going to see early is probably not a ton of making
stuff.
Fun of him. Right. I think you're going to see a lot of different, or not, maybe not a lot, but you're going to see a few people try it on.
Right.
And I think once you find someone who it fits on, then you can make fun of him.
I think first you get someone who has an impression.
But yeah.
You've once you get the impression, then you build, the Biden character.
Right. Around, exactly.
Just like Dana Carvey did with the George, George Bush.
Yeah. Dana Carvey's George H.W. Bush was nothing like
exactly,
H.W.
Exactly.
Just a fucking Sudeikis Biden was not Biden.
You get one line, you get one whatever, and you build a whole character around that line or that saying, and that just does its own
thing. That becomes that person. The portrayal.
Absolutely.
And I think that's coming.
Yes.
I think, but it's going to be, unless Alex Moffat kills it next time, because he didn't have much to do in that sketch anyway, but he didn't really impress me.
I was impressed.
But I do think, I can't think of his name. One of the other skinny white guys.
You son of a bitch.
Could do a good job.
You mentioned him before. I can't think of
The one who played Trump's other son. Alex Moffat was Eric. Who was the guy that always did Don Jr.?
I know. I can't think of his name.
I think he could have a Biden in him.
Yeah.
But I do also think I do think there's room in the next year. Whenever we get close to the next Spider-Man movie coming out, I would love, since it's going to be so Spider-Verse-y, I would love to have like a Biden-verse cold open.
Be great.
Where they get Carrie and Sudeikis, whatever they had, and come in and all make fun of Biden in different in different facets.
Yep.
I could see that being a really fucking funny cold open. Yeah.
What's the actor's name? I'm blanking. Who plays J. Jonah Jameson?
Yes.
For some reason, I feel like he could do a killer Biden.
I could see that.
He just has I think it's the voice. He has the gruffness already.
Yeah,
anyways,
I can see that.
I don't know why that popped in my head.
See, I think if he were Biden, though, I think he would. I think he would fall into the same trap that Jim Carrey did, and make Biden like too fucking biker,
the character
fucking
himself.
Cool.
Yeah,
too Clint Eastwood cool.
Yeah,
and it's like, nah, man, Joe Biden's fucking nerd.
Yeah, yeah, yep. Overall, stay with SNL. Overall, what'd you think of the show on the Kristen Wiig show?
I fucking loved it. I love Kristen.
That was the best one in a while. I thought overall.
Well, I think Kristen Wiig was one of the best SNL performers of the last 20 years.
Easy, sure.
Like, if we're looking since 2000, she's got to be top five.
Yeah.
In that era.
I agree.
She's fucking, she's so funny and so versatile.
Yeah.
That I thought that was, I thought that was the best episode since, probably since the Chappelle episode.
Yeah, that's fair. That's
I bet
fair.
This was the best, this was definitely top two or three of the season so far.
I enjoyed pretty much all of the sketches.
The Grinch sketch was funny.
They're great. It makes me laugh. It's like, those are great sketches, but if they ever do like another Christmas special, they just couldn't put any of them in there because they're so inappropriate. Like, you know what I mean? They'll never make the regular, the Christmas special plays like 9 o'clock. You know what I mean? So they're not going to put the Grinch's threesome in there.
Which is a good, that's a really good sketch.
It's a great one. I loved the Christmas morning song. Like the mom's robe thing.
Oh, that one was awesome.
I sent that one to Jessica and my mom. I'm like, you guys will love this. It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
That was a very funny sketch.
So you're like, oh, you guys shouldn't have. It's presents for the dog. I'm like, oh, it's fucking great.
And the dog got a robe. What?
It's so good.
Too
much truth.
That was really funny.
The only one that, I don't want to say I didn't like, that bothered me was, I feel like they just threw it together, was that recurring character that she has, the, oh my God, you know, that
the one can't hold a secret. Surprise.
I feel like it was just thrown together to put that character in something.
Probably.
It wasn't a good sketch.
It wasn't a good sketch, you know, but I mean, she was funny
in it. She was very funny in it, yeah.
She nailed it as that. And I think when you have a Kristen Wiig, and she had so many iconic characters, you have to bring one back.
Right, right.
And Weekend Update was really packed.
Yeah.
So they couldn't bring back, because I thought for sure they were going to bring back when her and Fred Armisen would come on Weekend Update and do the songs.
Yeah, yeah, I was hoping for maybe more cameos. And they
did that as like as Christmas Carol-y.
Right.
So I, like, in my head, I had that penciled in for Weekend Update. When that didn't happen, I was pretty shocked.
I was, especially after the monologue, I was hoping for a little more Maya Rudolph through the show. I thought they'd do a little more. You put those two together on a stage.
Yeah.
Don't even, just let them do stuff.
That's a win.
They're win. They're great. One of my favorite things they ever did was that stupid game show where they were just like the Price is Right contestants showing stuff off. And one of them was like a little golf cart that they won. And they just took it around, they just driving into the shit. Like,
yeah.
For like 3 minutes. It was hilarious.
Yeah. I also think, like, I would have liked to have seen that Weekend Update one, but if you couldn't get Fred Armisen, then it doesn't work. I also would have been interested. I think there was a funny way they could have pulled off her Target Lady.
I was gonna say, I want a Target Lady before,
like,
this
Target lady. And Target Lady in the time of COVID,
right?
Like, I could imagine
behind
it,
plexiglass or something.
Yeah, like that behind plexiglass, or even like her working for Target corporate, like on the phone doing online shopping because it's all there she can do. But in like her terrible rundown apartment with cats and shit all over it. I think that would have been a
curbside
funny sketch.
Pickup. She's bringing it out to the car. Just, my God, like all this shit, like everything she hands to you. It'd be great. Yeah.
I think there's a good Target Lady sketch in there.
I haven't seen a good curbside pickup sketch.
Yeah.
There's something missing.
And that would have been a good one.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, of all of her characters, that is one that I'm surprised they brought back. Considering the options.
Right.
Because I do think Christmas Carols with her and Fred on Weekend Update or Target Lady both would have killed.
Sure. And like you said, she has so many great characters that it's...
She's just so good.
They brought back the great character for, you know, it's not Match Game, what's the word game? I forget what it is.
Yeah.
And she was great on that.
Yeah.
I really wish they would have had... what's his name for the host? He's on the Barry Show now on HBO with Henry Winkler.
Oh, Bill Hader.
Bill Hader, thank you. I just love Bill Hader as a game show host, man.
I love Bill Hader as everything.
It's true.
Bill Hader is, like, we're talking Kristen Wiig as top five of the last 20 years. Bill Hader is also in that category.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Bill Hader, much like Kristen Wiig, super versatile, can do so many characters. And also, like, I think him and Kristen Wiig were the two best at being, like, completely over the top zany characters, but also being really fucking grounded, like,
right?
And you see it in, like, as both of them have become legitimate actors, you see it in their performances where it's like, oh, like, you genuinely understand the craft,
right?
Which allows you to do slapstick really fucking well.
Bill Hader, you know, one of my favorite SNL sketches of all time, recurring sketches, is What's Up With That. He never says a line as Lindsay Buckingham. And he's hilarious. I mean, you know what's coming every time, and every time it's great just because of his mannerisms he can do and chuckle with it. He's fucking great. And have you watched Barry?
No.
Oh, you got to get HBO Max just for Barry, if nothing else. You would love it.
So I got HBO Max. We talked about, but hey.
You can't use it.
Guess what?
Yeah.
As of 2 days ago, boy, they made a deal with Roku.
Got to.
Well, you knew it was coming because of the Wonder Woman stuff. Like,
yes.
I felt confident it was going to happen before Christmas.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I was sitting around with, I guess this was probably Wednesday night, I want to say. I'm sitting around the couch and I happened to, like, I'm fucking futzing around on my phone. And I was like, oh, I'm going to look up and see if there's any information on if fucking HBO Max is coming to Roku. And as I looked it up, I got a news story that was published like 35 minutes prior.
Nice.
Saying, a deal has been struck. It will be available on Roku Thursday morning.
Like it.
So.
Like it.
Hold on 1 second. We're going to take a super quick break. All right. And we're back.
Okay.
Sorry. That was a weird quick panic that I forgot my computer charger.
Technology. Turns out it takes power.
One of these days I'll be a good...
As we were chatting there before,
So the Roku deal
yes
is fucking done, and I am thrilled. But it led me to actually using HBO this week.
Good.
I finally...
It's a sweet app, right?
Put on... No.
Oh, I love... There's like great stuff in there. See, so much better than Netflix.
I would agree with... I don't think Netflix is that great.
Yeah, I've lost a lot of faith in Netflix.
But it's also... it's the difference in you and me. Like how... I'm a Disney Plus guy. You're an HBO guy. There are things that are worth your time on Disney
Plus. That's a t-shirt right there. But go ahead.
For sure.
Yeah.
But like there are things that are worth your time on Disney Plus, but you're not going there for most stuff.
True.
And that's how I look at HBO Max. There are things that are worth my time, but when I like really scan through it, there's not a ton that jumps out at me. I did finally watch, I burned through the whole first season of the Harley Quinn show.
Yes, very good.
That was really fun.
Very good.
I've, of course, been, it's funny. I got the new app to really just watch shit that I've watched a million times. Like, I watched my OC Chris Mika episodes, which I was thrilled about. I've watched a shitload of Doctor Who.
I told you they had the Doctor Who Christmas episode, like little...
Yeah, a little playlist. Yeah. And that's... I love Doctor Who. I love the Doctor Who. I love everything about Doctor Who. Actually, it had me thinking... Something that I want to bring up on the podcast because I want to will it into existence, see if we still have any of that mojo left. Please. But this year, we does. Well, this year I got the Harry Potter Funko Advent Calendar.
Yes.
I've been having fun with it.
Yeah.
I don't understand how there's not a Doctor Who Funko Advent Calendar. Like with all the Doctor Who Christmas specials and all, like you have 13 sure. Doctors alone.
Right.
Half of it's already done for you. That's just right. By doing one of each right. Doctor.
And then a TARDIS. What's the robot thing?
Cyberman.
There you go.
Well, so you could do Cyberman. You could do a Dalek. You could have, of course, you'd have the TARDIS. You'd pick out some of the more iconic companions, some of the more iconic villains. Like you could.
Yes, I'm not a huge fan. And I feel like I could put that together.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Like, and fucking talk about a rabid fan base. Like, that would be gangbusters.
Right.
I want that next year. Well, I need that.
It's more next of a. Year. It's more of an English fan base, so that would be Bully, I think, is what you're looking for.
Yeah. Bully. Yeah,
Bully.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, just like Harry Potter. You know, they come from the same people.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The same culture. And I...
Transphobes?
I'm sorry.
I couldn't help myself. I'm sorry.
In fact, the opposite. The Doctor Who creators are the most inclusive people in the world. J.K. Rowling's a fucking
turd. I'm so sorry. That's terrible. I'm so sorry. Yeah.
That was a good bit.
Oh, shit. That will not be the title of this week's podcast.
But yeah, I want that bad for next year.
Sure.
Yeah. I want a Doctor Who Funko Advent Calendar.
Heck yeah.
So get on it, Funko.
Speaking of things that we can either put into existence, I'm going to try to not... I'm going to prevent something from happening that I've heard is happening.
Wonderful.
So I love Marvel.
Yeah.
I'm a Thor fan. Thor Love and Thunder is coming out. You know,
Looks great.
Looks like it's going to be a good time, right?
You got Taika Waititi. You got Natalie Portman coming back.
There's a rumor going around. It's not like he's going to have a role, but that he's going to make an appearance as himself, Vin Diesel. What the fuck?
It's Taika Waititi. If he shows up, he's showing up to get made fun of.
I sure hope so. I mean, if they put him on screen, he just says, I am Vin. I'm in. If it makes a joke, whatever. But if he has a speaking role, it will ruin the whole movie for me.
Oh, Brandon.
I'm letting you know. Right now, I'm trying to make Vin Diesel not happen. It's the first negative effect.
Trying to cancel Vin Diesel.
I say it's negative, but at the same time, I really think it's doing the world a favor. In the end, I'm helping humanity. See, this is where... I'm not going to compare myself to like...
You're a humanitarian.
Bad Brandon. Guy. But all of a sudden, I'm like, this is the Empire's view. I'm like, see, Vin Diesel's the terrorist. He's ruining the world. If you could go back 10 years and prevent whatever her name's is, Mom, from putting out the Kardashian tape to prevent that atrocity from happening, you would have done it. You would have
You're
done it.
You're not wrong.
You would have done it.
You're not wrong.
Yes. Imagine where the country would be without those people running
without the Kardashians?
Oh, my God.
Imagine where we would be if everything, Kim didn't fuck Ray J on camera.
Everything was fine until that tape came out. We were all just
you're right
jerking the, it to night right. vision the Paris Hilton. And it's still a little bit of that Pammy Tommy Lee sex tape. Oh, I'm old.
Yeah. There's that Gen Xer, bud.
Yeah, I think Fight Club was on the background. Yeah, it's total 90s, bro.
Oh God.
And that's the only. So I don't want to talk about that. Right. I just want it to
just
not
want
happen.
It to not happen.
Yes. Yes.
So speaking of things that I don't want to happen,
please,
or at least I don't think I want to happen. Were you a Firefly fan?
I enjoyed Firefly. I didn't find it till like probably 5 years later because sure. It was not readily yeah. available. But yes, I enjoyed Firefly.
Yeah,
Joss Whedon. Yeah,
I was the same way. I found it on Netflix mm-hmm. probably about 10 years ago, so I was probably 10 years late.
Sure.
Very much enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Had a lot of fun with it. I think it's a great show. And then they did the movie when everything mm-hmm. got canceled. Serenity. Love that. Great ending. Talk it. So I was a Fox thing. Talk is coming to Disney Plus, a reboot.
Yep.
Not only is it coming to Disney Plus, or not only is it being rebooted, because it's coming to Disney Plus, it's going to be like more kid friendly.
Sure.
Like one of the central figures is a prostitute.
Right.
That can't happen.
Right.
I think that the thing is, Firefly worked really well, not because it was like a super original idea. Like, you know, the idea of a space western is
right.
fucking very cool.
Sure.
And at the time, it was really original. But now we have the fucking Mandalorian, which is a space western.
I kind of got that down.
But why that worked so well is because that cast was incredible. That cast was perfect. The idea itself, that it was lightning in a bottle. I don't need to see that rebooted because it needs to be that cast. And it can't be that cast because Wash, Alan Tudyk's character, was killed right. in Serenity,
right.
which ended the story. So it wouldn't be a sequel. It would be a reboot. If I am not getting Mal Reynolds with fucking Nathan Fillion,
yeah.
if I'm not getting Wash as Alan Tudyk, if I'm not getting Marina Baccarin,
calling it Firefly?
Right. If I'm not getting Marina Baccarin
right.
as the prostitute that Mal wants to get down with.
You're not even getting Joss Whedon to do it.
Like, right. Well, I wonder why. Speaking of pieces of shit that yeah. have fallen from grace, you got J.K. Shit. Rowling and yeah. and Joss Whedon that's really side by side there.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. I forgot about that.
But it just seems like, to me, why?
Absolutely.
You know, like if Fox would have done it 2 years after the show came out and they were going to give it another chance, kind of like how they did for Family Guy, awesome.
I'll tell you why.
But the ship is fucking sailed.
I'll tell you why. It's the same reason Netflix does not say no to any original content. They need content. Disney yeah. Plus needs original content. Like,
yeah.
If
more IP.
You know, the people who signed on for Disney, they got you.
Yeah.
You're already in. Now they need to figure out how to bring other people in. They got to have that new content. See,
but that's the thing. I look at Firefly. That's a Star Wars fan base.
Agreed.
You've already got that fan base.
It came out in that kind of between Star Wars.
Sure, it's different.
Time,
you know, it's the Buffy the Vampire audience.
It is. I think if you're a Star Wars fan, you're aware of Firefly. It doesn't necessarily mean you know Firefly.
Oh, I agree. If you're a Star Wars fan, you're not necessarily a Firefly fan.
Right.
But if you're a Firefly fan, you are a Star Wars
fan. This is true. This is very true. Yeah.
And if you are a Star Wars fan,
yeah.
you've already got enough reasons to buy a Disney
right.
Plus.
Right. Right.
Like,
you
to
probably
me,
already
it,
have.
Right. So, it, yeah. it just seems like yeah. I don't. And again, if they do it and it's well, I'll be the first person to fucking eat crow.
Right.
If it's fucking
maybe
cool,
it's...
I'm like...
Maybe,
awesome.
Maybe it's just, you know, they need new content that isn't Star Wars.
That isn't Star Wars or Marvel.
Right.
That could be true.
You know, I mean...
Something that you can just do whatever you want with and not right. be in part of a larger universe.
Kind of make their own thing, you know?
And maybe that's true. And maybe they do a fucking killer job, but...
I'm with you there.
I don't get why.
It's the same way I felt the day they announced they were redoing Charlie's Angels. I got it.
But then you got
Lucy Liu, Drew Barrymore,
you got Drew Barrymore.
Cameron Diaz. You're not going to take those spots. Come on, get the fuck out of here. The OG. I mean, anyways. Obviously, I know that was a 70s show, by the way.
You were there.
1978.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you very much.
So I watched a thing this week.
Oh, yeah?
I'm
thinking you liked or hated that thing or you wouldn't bring it up.
I loved the thing that I watched. Yeah. I loved it. I watched it assuming I would like it. Obviously, I don't watch things for no reason. But I loved it much more than I thought I would. It's a documentary called The Last Blockbuster.
Sure, yeah.
I saw it was someone that I follow on Twitter was promoing it. And I was like, all right. And it was like for rent on Amazon for like $3. Right. I was like, yeah, all right. I got $3 for tonight. It was fucking gripping. It was entertaining. It was fun. It made me feel the feels. And I mean, it was like interviews. It was Kevin Smith and Paul Scheer and Ron Funches. Sure. Like just really, really delightful.
Nice. It's good to hear.
And it just made me feel all the things that I felt walking through a video store as a kid.
Yeah.
Like
I miss that.
All those things that our kids didn't experience.
Maybe one day when all this, hopefully we're getting this vaccine going within the next, 6-8 months, everything's kind of somewhat back to what we used to know.
Uh-huh.
Maybe in our future comic book store, we have a little rental section.
That would be fucking cool.
Staff picks.
Yeah.
It's a staff picks section.
Yeah.
Anyways.
From our personal DVD collections.
Just for nostalgia. Absolutely. Just for nostalgia purposes, man. Just because that's how I found pop culture, was really going to my, if I didn't find comics, I was going to Blockbuster to see what was there.
100%.
Even my movies and then my video games. I went to Blockbuster.
Brandon, we're doing that.
Absolutely.
You just birthed the thing that's
going to. I think it's a great idea. We have
Staff Picks movies.
Staff Picks.
It's the only movies that we'll offer.
That's right.
And they'll be for rent.
You got to be a member. That's how we get your money. No, I'm just kidding. There's no money involved. You got to be a member so I know where to fucking come get my movie when you don't bring it back.
But we're going to have a late fee, God damn it.
Damn right, late fee. I think, I mean.
But like that, it is cool 100% that worth your time, dude. It is.
I'm going to check it out.
It is $3 well spent. Which then also reminded me, a movie came out that you can rent on Amazon that I forgot came out. New Mutants.
That's right.
I saw a promo there. I was like, wait, hold on.
I've almost rented it a couple times and I just haven't. Mainly because I don't want to be disappointed. Like, I haven't heard it's bad. I haven't heard it's good. I just heard it's a movie.
See, that's, I don't think I could be disappointed by it.
Maybe not.
Because I think my expectations are, like, at this point, with as many times as it's been delayed.
Right.
And also knowing that it's not going to get spun off into sequels or anything. Yeah. Like, my expectations for it are now just to see, like, a supernatural horror movie.
That's fair.
So, yeah. I don't think I can be disappointed. I think if I watch it and it's bad, I won't be disappointed.
That's fair.
Like, my expectations are that it's not very good.
Yeah.
So, if it's even okay, I'm going to be pleasantly surprised.
One thing, it's on my list to do this week. I got to watch that Mel Gibson Santa Claus movie.
Yeah,
I got to watch it.
Every time that does look interesting.
I've walked past a Redbox 4 or 5 times and I've seen it. I'm like, I got to go home and risk rent that. I got to do a home and risk rent that. Because it's like $6. I mean, I got to go do that.
Right. You got to find out.
Even if it's a shitty hour and a half, it's got to be at least 10 minutes of fun, right?
Oh, certainly.
That's worth $6.
There's going to be, there is certainly $6 worth of entertainment in that movie.
I would think so.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
This week got going to be watching Wonder Woman.
Yep.
Going to be watching Soul, which I'm so excited for.
I've heard great things. Especially about scores. I've heard that score is amazing.
I believe, dude, that's a fucking
Trent Reznor on that one.
I'm a fucking Pixar guy.
I heard that's great. Yeah.
I'm already getting my tissues ready.
Yeah.
Because every Pixar movie makes me cry because I'm that fucking guy.
That's, hey, what did you do?
But like, I'm super stoked for it and my kids are stoked for it. That's so like, cool. That's like, that's
always a neat feeling.
Yeah. When that gets to happen, it's like, fuck it. We are doing that. Like, that's what's happening as soon as we finish opening gifts Christmas morning.
Nice.
Like, it's like, I'm making breakfast. We're opening gifts. When we're done and they don't want to play anymore, we're watching that shit in the afternoon.
Nice.
And then Wonder Woman at night.
That's cool. I only have one other thing.
Okay, let's hear it.
Obviously we've established many, many, many times that I'm older than you.
Uh-huh.
How familiar are you with Crocodile Dundee? You're aware it exists, right?
Exactly.
They're doing not a new one, but it's a, what do you call it? Like a mockumentary. It's about Paul Hogan, who was the actor who played Crocodile Dundee. He's playing himself, but basically he's coming back from Australia to New York for conventions and things like that. And it's just people, quoting the movie to him wrong and expecting him to be this person. It looks hilarious, has great cameo. First time I saw it was 2 days ago. I saw it, I'm like, what the fuck is this? And then I watched it, I'm like, I didn't know I wanted that, and I want it so bad right now. It may be a shit show from start to finish, but goddamn it, what a great idea.
Okay.
In the world we're living in with all the types of streaming and outlets, I'm hoping that it's still a quality movie. Because, you know, 20 years ago, you put out a movie like this, it's going to be shit. Yeah. Almost guaranteed, just because it just was guaranteed.
Right.
Now, you know, you put something on Netflix or whatever, it's got some money behind it. It's got some production behind it. It can actually be a funny movie. So I'm really looking forward to this.
All right.
Little Paul Hogan, man.
I'm here for it. I'll find out.
Did you ever watch Crocodile Dundee?
It was one of those things that, like, I saw on Channel 11 as it happened. That's fair. I've probably seen all of both of them, yeah, but I've never sat down and watched
the one. Fact that you know there's two, I hold you a little higher in my book. Right. Yeah, it's I appreciate that. Crocodile Dundee 2, by the way, this is so stupid. I haven't done one of these for a while. When I Meet a Celebrity,
oh,
the movie, yeah, I'd reference, the great Colin Quinn, his first ever movie was Crocodile Dundee 2. And he just...
Good for him.
He's just a drunk guy who gets out of a limo.
So he's Colin Quinn.
Doesn't know what's going on. People are cheering. He's like, what? And just starts like golf clapping out of nowhere. Oh, we lost the mic.
Yeah.
Still got your mic.
Oh.
I got no mic. Sorry. Right. Oh, there we go. There we go. Well, now that you're cutting me off, I guess that's a good place to stop.
You're done.
Merry Christmas to everybody, and we'll see you next year.
Cheers.
It's Christmas time. Still bloated from Thanksgiving, and time is quick, so I wanna hang with the living. It's Christmas time. I don't care if it's a white one, if my friends are there, this Christmas will be the right.